Like I said, we'll jump off in Job chapter 41. And I want to talk to you this morning a little bit about the fear of God. And I hope it'd be a help to you as it was to me as I studied this a little bit. Job chapter number 42, not 42, 41, verse number. Let's start off in 33. It says, "Upon earth there is not his like who is made without fear." Look at that. Without fear. "He beholdeth all high things. He is a king over all the children of pride." That is not good. Not good at all. Let's pray right quick. Father, Lord, again, we just want to tell you we love you. Lord, we recognize and we know, dear Lord, that if anything is done here today, it would be done because of you, and it would be done by your precious word, energized and blessed by your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray, dear Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to be dedicated to you, Lord, and saturated in your word, Lord. And I pray that you would help us to grow and help us, dear Lord, to be able to help others and help us to be able to fear the right things, dear Lord, in this old evil, sinful world. Lord, we're looking for you to come back. Today would be a good time. And Lord, just the quicker the better, as Brother Paul prayed, Lord. But we're willing to wait on you, Lord, because we know that we want your will to be done, Lord. And we just ask you to get glory this morning, Lord. I pray your word be magnified. And I pray, dear Lord, that people will be helped and, Lord, save the soul nearest hell. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Again, I want to talk to you on the subject of the fear of God. And what I want to say is first of all, that the Lord isn't feared today. People don't fear God. I did a little computer search, and I searched out top fears, and you can't find anything for 2018 because the year's not over with yet. But the top fears in 2017 were number one through ten. Number one, corrupt government officials. Top fear. Pretty good fear, but that's an earthly fear. I thought, wow. All right, the second top fear was American Healthcare Act. Top fears now. Alright, the next one was pollution in oceans. The fourth one was pollution in drinking water, which pretty good fears, but they all have to do with us. How things affect us. Not having enough money, fifth fear. High medical bills. Another war. Global warming. People talk about global warming. Yeah, global warming. All right. Well, there's a fire in the basement. It's going to get real hot one of these days. I guarantee you, Al Gore and the rest of them, they talk about global warming. They better be doing some studying. One of these days, if they don't get saved, they go through tribulation, it's going to be showing up hot outside. Tell you. North Korea using weapons was a fear there. And the last one, number 10, was air pollution. Alright, and then I did another study, and the top two fears. Number one was public speaking. You know what the second fear was? Death. So you know what? If that study is right, you people would rather be in the casket than be standing here where I'm at right now. Now that's something, man. I mean, I got to study in fear and stuff, and this world has a constant a thing about where it's trying to make you afraid of something instead of God. You know, people say, "You ought not use fear. You ought not use fear to get people close to God and things like that." And they say, "But you better get you some fire insurance on your home now. You make sure you need to get that flood insurance, you know. You need to get insurance for this and get insurance for that." I live up on a hill. Well, you never know. It could be, man, they got earthquake insurance. Man, they got insurance for everything.
That's right.
But now, I'll tell you something. I've got the right fire insurance. I've got that. Why? Jesus Christ. Why? Because, buddy, you couldn't burn my soul if you tried to. Why? Because just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were preserved in the fire with the Lord, with the pre-incarnate Christ in there with them, you couldn't burn my soul for nothing. Why? I just jump and skip hot wine because y'all was burned. It was heated seven times hotter with the Lord Jesus. But I'm telling you, that's where you want to be in Christ. That's the right fear. I'm trying to, before I even get to the message, I'm trying to tell you that you're supposed to fear the right thing. The right kind of fear can lead to salvation. I've got a lot of verses, so I'll tell you where to turn. Jude 23, it says, "And others save with fear pulling them out of the fire. Now you know what you do? You use fear on children. You say, look, if you pull that water, that boiling water off that stove onto you, it's going to burn you. Why? So they won't do something. You use fear of burning to tell them not to do things. You know what preachers do? Well, they used to. They used to stand up here and say, if you don't trust Jesus Christ, you're going to burn in hell. Burn. Literally burn. Well, you know, hell's really not fire now. That's just spiritual fire. No, it says burn. It says it's real hot fire. And y'all, I don't want anybody to go to that place. And you ought not either. But you have to tell them. We have to tell them. Well, you know what? This world don't care if we meet here today. As long as you don't interfere in their business and make them have to think about anything.
That's right.
They'll get along with you just fine.
That's right.
Now, you know what? I saw a sticker in a man's vehicle one time. And it said, no fear. Well, you know what? This dragon right here, this Leviathan, is... That's a picture of the devil. Well, he's a king. Who's the devil? The devil is a king over all the children of pride.
That's right.
So what? All this pride stuff that people have nowadays. Why? Who's the king over that? That's the devil. And guess what? The Bible said he's made in verse number 33. Interesting verse right there. In that Christ died when he's 33 years old. And Satan's going to have a son, an antichrist, one of these days. I'll just better leave that alone. But anyway, it says he's without fear. You know what? You better fear something. Better fear something. We need to get to where we've got a proper fear.
That's right.
Why? Because people have gotten to the place where they just think, God just over here, you know, He just, would you please just accept me? Yeah. Let me tell you something. Christ did everything He was supposed to do on the cross. He died for you on the cross. He has showed and displayed more love than anybody could ever show by going to the cross.
Amen.
He's done His part. And you know what He said? If you'll receive Him, you'll receive Him. He'll give you the power to become the Son of God.
That's right.
And you know what? People have lost their fear in that this right here. God loves you enough to give you a choice.
Yes, He does.
And you say, well, I want to choose to do my own way. Okay then, well, guess what? He's not going to force His will on your will. If you want to go to hell, He'll let you go there.
Yeah.
I'm telling you this right here, people need to fear. They've lost the fear. Now, people fear the wrong boogeyman. I want to read you two verses just for speed. Because if y'all will turn to Exodus 20, I'm going to read you two verses while you're turning there. There's going to come a time one of these days in the Great Tribulation. And when the church is called out, after the church is called out, sometime after that, there's going to come a time of great tribulation. And you know who the boogeyman is going to be? It's not these Halloween characters. I tell you what you know what they're saying? This is scary to me, and I'm saved. They say this right here. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, the face. Y'all, look, have you ever seen somebody get real mad? Have you ever seen somebody... See, Christ came as a lamb first time. He's coming as a lion. He came the first time and they put Him on the cross. He came the second time and He's coming with a crown on His head. He came the first time to a crucifixion. The second time He's coming to a coronation.
That's right, brother.
He's coming as King, King, King.
Yes.
And they're scared of His face. Now, He came as a lamb. He has a sweet little face. He's walking around through that. You know, nobody's scared of baby Jesus. When you get talking about the full-grown Jesus, they don't want to talk about Him. They're scared of His face. You let somebody get mad. You ever seen some people get real mad? And I tell you, I've seen some folks get mad and their face will scare you. Now, that's a face Christ made. The Lord made all things. Now let me tell you something. You make Him mad and you wait on that face right there when you don't have to. I want to be on His side. People say, well, God's on my side. God's not on your side. You better get on His side. We need to be on His side. We've gotten everything to where it's all about us. I'm telling you that Bible says one of these days in the book of Revelation, I got you in Exodus, but it said this right here. And I saw a great white throne and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Everything fled away from His face. It's got something to do with that face. You know what that Bible says on the cross? His visage was more marred than any man. He was beaten beyond recognizable. Why? For you and for me. You get to thinking about the ugliness of sin. That's what it did. Y'all, you know what this world would do? If it was unrestrained and unbridled, this world would do to you just what it did to Jesus Christ. Why? Because the world hates Jesus. It's not that they hate you. They hate the Lord Jesus Christ on the inside of you. Y'all, people got the wrong fear. Now, I want to show you some things about godly fear. The fear of God, number one. Fear God will help you. Y'all, you know what's wrong with this generation, this young generation? They don't fear God. It's just that simple. Exodus chapter 20, look at verse number 20. One of my favorite verses here about fear. It says, "And Moses said unto the people, fear not." Now, I got that underlined in my Bible. Fear not. Alright, now watch this. "For God is come to prove you, and that His fear may be before your faces, that you sin not." His fear. Why? If you fear Him, all other fears fade away. What I'm telling you is this world tries to get you to fear losing loved ones. This world tries to get you to fear losing health. This world tries to get you to fear losing a job, losing money, all these things. And I'm telling you this right here. And He said, "Fear not, that His fear be with you, that you sin not."
Amen.
You know what happens? We can get to where fear can lead to worry, and worry is a sin.
That's right.
Why? Well, because if you know God is there, and if you fear God, it balances everything out. And you know this right here. God's going to take care of it. We get so worried about our physical. And y'all, I know our physical can affect our spiritual. But we need to put the spiritual first. God, help me with my sin and the sin problem so I can be in a proper relationship with God. Why? Because if you're not, you'll fear the wrong things. And then when that fear comes in, it's a domino effect. The fear of God there, if you fear Him, everything else works out as far as balancing you out mentally. Now, the beginning of wisdom. Here's a verse I'm just going to quote to you. Proverbs 9:10. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." You know why? That the thing is, if you don't have any fear, if you don't fear God, that's forsaking wisdom and sanctification. Listen to the definition of what fear will do. Job 28:28 says, "And unto man," He said, listen to this, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom." It says, "And to depart from evil is understanding." You know what the Bible, the definition is of wisdom? The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. You know what that's saying? If this country does not fear God, where they're taking down commandments and things like that is, they're forsaking the fear of God, so they are leaving godly wisdom for worldly wisdom. Mm-hmm. They're literally trading God for the devil.
Yeah.
And people say, "Wow, I just don't know the shape we're in." I tell you why the shape we're in. It's simple. No fear of God before their faces. The fear of God is something there to help you. Now turn to Proverbs chapter 1 with me. Proverbs chapter 1. I hope I'm not coming across to want to hurt you, but man, I'm passionate about this because I tell you what, this country started off when this thing started. Why? We were blessed because there was churches and people were getting the gospel out and people were serving God and things were getting done, but we're at a place now where God's kind of an afterthought. You know what this world reminds me of? Andy Griffith. Nothing wrong with that show. Has anybody ever watched Andy Griffith? I like Andy Griffith. Pretty good show. You can watch it with your family. But how many times do they pray before meals? How many times do you see them talking about the Lord? How many times do you see them bragging on the Lord? How many times do you see them going to church together and things like that? That's not emphasized. Why? This world does not mind you being moral as long as you don't mess with them, as long as you don't tell anybody about it, as long as your Christianity is not vocal, as long as you're not doing anything about it, as long as you're just coming to church. So that's not, this thing is not about coming to church.
That's right.
It's about a daily relationship with Christ.
Amen.
This world has made it just an outward show where you come to church on Sunday and that's just what we do, you know. That's not it. That's not salvation. Salvation is in a person, Jesus Christ, trusting Him, and the relationship has to do with not my will, but thy will be done.
Amen.
And see, people don't fear God anymore, and I'll tell you what's happening. People think, well, we got to be doing well. Look how we're prospering. That's not. You know what the scariest thing to be is to prosper without the Lord.
That's right.
You know what scares me? Is all these people talk about, we must be doing pretty good because, and under this administration, I'm not getting into politics, I'm just telling you, you have to be real careful about prosperity, because about what I'm about to read you. You know what prosperity without God is? People like Hugh Hefner.
That's right.
Living a life of perversion all their life and then dying and busting hell wide open.
That's right, brother.
You know what this Bible says right here? Proverbs chapter 1. Verse number 31. Watch this verse right here. God's judgment don't have to be smacking somebody around and making a volcano happen in America. It says this right here. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own device. I don't want that, y'all. I hope you don't. Look at this. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them. They turned away. God didn't turn them away. They turned away. It says, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. You know what he's saying? You turn away from God. You know what happens? Oftentimes you'll prosper. Why? In this world. Because this world's not fearing God.
That's right.
Why? Oftentimes if you want to prosper, if this church wanted to prosper, you know what we could do? I'm telling you, we could fill the pews and have to build a new building. Why? All you'd have to do is turn away from God, and all you'd have to do is bring in entertainment, and let's get four or five different versions of the Bible, and everybody, what's your opinion on this? And I could preach lovey-dove every Sunday, and guess what? You'd have, why? You're not offending anybody.
Right.
What I'm telling you is you could prosper, but God would be on the outside.
Amen.
I'm telling you this right here. Amen. Your temptation is going to be to leave the fear of God and just join it and do what you want to do. But you know what that Bible says? You'll be filled with your own devices.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, God don't have to judge. What I'm trying to tell you is this right here. People talk about God's going to judge America. He don't have to judge America. All He's got to do is turn you loose.
Amen.
And you'll destroy yourself. The prosperity of fools will destroy them. You give somebody, people say, I wish I had $1 million. I don't. God knows if I can handle it or not. What if I couldn't handle it? They'd destroy me. I'm telling you, y'all, is this country and the people in this country and the churches in this country, the individuals in this country have gotten to the place where they think that, hey, if I'm doing well, gain is godliness, you know. That's not so. That is not so. I thank God for everybody here this morning. Why? Because you're here because you want to be here and you want the Word of God.
Amen.
But you know what? People think, hey, we're just doing well. Man, if I had 500 people, I know we'd be godly. That's not so. That's not so. With prosperity, oftentimes, what destroys people.
That's right.
We need to be built up on the solid rock on which I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And he'd had to fear God and let God do things the way God wants to do it.
Amen.
Well, otherwise, you know, we'll destroy ourselves.
Yes, sir.
You know what? Individually, the last thing you want to do, people say, man, I don't think I'm close to the Lord. And I'll talk to some of him. Well, how come? Man, I just feel so bad. I sinned the other day and I don't want you to tell me what you've done. But thank God you feel bad.
Amen.
You know when you got to be scared is when you don't have that conviction. That's when you need to feel bad, while your conscience is seared. And all you got to do is be turned to loose by God. And man, you can go off and do anything in this world.
Amen.
If you've got conviction, thank God for it. And you better welcome that. Why? Because this world don't have the fear of God. And I can tell you something. One day they're going to fear Him. They're going to fear Him one day. And you're going to see about it if I ever get to it. That's impossible. That's impossible. You know what I thought about in Proverbs? They're fatted for the slaughter. Literally fatted for the slaughter. That's the beginning of wisdom. I want to say something about perfection of wisdom. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. And while you're turning there, I got to read this verse. 1 John chapter 4 verse 18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Perfect love casteth out fear. There's no fear in love. You know what? All these people, I can lose my salvation. I love the Lord, and guess what? As you grow in a deeper love with the Lord, you know what happened? You'll know that Lord is not going to cast you out. Why? Because He said He was going to seal you with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And the more you love Him, the more you know. Look here. Y'all had children, y'all had relatives. You're just a human. Would you turn a loose of them? If you got in a bad thing, what if they made you mad? You going to kick them out? You wouldn't do that, and you're a human. Now God is the one who created love. Do you think He's going to kick you out? Perfect love casteth out fear. I don't fear. I'll tell you this right here. I thank God. I know I'm not worth 2 cents, but you know what? I've trusted Jesus Christ, and because I'm precious in God's sight, because I've trusted the precious blood. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. How come? Because they're washed in precious blood.
Amen.
So guess what? I don't have to fear a thing. I don't have to fear one thing. Now, I may choose to fear things that I shouldn't, but it's not His fault, it's my fault. Perfect love casteth out fear. Alright, I want you to see this right here. Hope this will help you. 1 John chapter 3. I don't know what I'm doing back in Revelation. I'm trying to get to the end of this message, I guess. I hope this will help you. 1 John chapter number 3, I want you to see this. Where did 1 John? Here it is. Alright, now watch this right here. I want you to see this verse. Verse 19. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts. Now watch this. And shall assure our hearts before Him.
Amen.
So here's the assurance, but watch this. For if our heart condemn us, sometimes your heart condemns you. God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Behold, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. You know what happens? Sometimes your heart will give you false convictions. He says your heart condemns you. God's greater than that. You know what happens? Sometimes you may be under the wrong preacher and he gets up there and says, well, if you've ever done so and so, there's no way you're saved. Shut up. For lack of a better word. Why? Because you what about them thoughts you thought a while ago? What about that lust you had in your heart? Did you lose yours, sir? Well, sometimes I'm just telling you, sometimes you can have false conviction on a thing. Sometimes you may feel bad about something and you may have did something that the Bible told you to do. Sometimes it's like the Bible says, rebuke them sharply. Sometimes, I'm not saying go in here and snap on people. Y'all know that. But sometimes you have to tell somebody how it is.
Amen.
And you'll get back in your car and you say, oh man, why'd I say that? Well, you're getting false conviction on something. If God told you and it was lined up with the Bible says, let your conversation be all seasoned with salt. With grace, seasoned with salt. You got to have a balance about you. Y'all, sometimes we're going to actually have to tell somebody we love, hey, that was wrong. You ought not have said that. But sometimes some people we love may say things or hurt other folks, and sometimes we're there. We ought to have enough guts to say, hey, you know, that's against the Bible right there. You can just put it on the Bible. What I'm telling you is, and sometimes you'll say that and your heart will say your deceitful heart will say, well, man, you shouldn't have said that. You're going to make an enemy. Well, Paul, we've studied Paul this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. Sometimes you may say something to somebody and it may hurt their feelings then, but they may get right because of it.
Right.
What I'm telling you is sometimes your heart will give you false convictions and it can do that on things. But guess what? God is greater than that.
Amen.
Wow, when you fear God, He'll balance you out. What I'm telling you is this world will have balance because they're not fearing God. They're fearing what somebody else is going to think on this and what somebody else is going to think. Y'all, it's just killing us. And I'm leading up to the fear of man, but I'm just telling you, it perfects wisdom. It's the beginning of wisdom. It perfects wisdom. And guess what? Only God can help you. I read a story about a magician, if I'm saying this right. And this guy come to this magician, and that wasn't a guy, it was a mouse. And the mouse came to the magician, and the mouse said, look, I'm scared to death of cats. And the magician said, I'll help you out. I'll turn you into a cat. So he turned the mouse into a cat, and the cat comes up and said, man, I'm terrified of dogs. And he said, I'll tell you what, I'll help you out, I'll turn you into a dog. Turned him into a dog, he said, man, I'm scared to death of tigers. And he said, I'll turn you into a tiger. And so he comes up, tiger walks up to the magician. He said, I'm scared to death of hunters. He said, that magician said, look, I'm turning you back into a mouse. He said, I can't help you. You got the heart of a mouse and I can't do anything else about it. Guess what? Man can't change the heart. Only God can change your heart. And if you're scared of something, what I'm trying to tell you, it don't matter if you turn into a cat, a dog, a lion or whatever. I'm telling you, you think if I better my situation here, I won't have that fear anymore. Or if I change my situation here, I won't have that fear anymore. I'm telling you, you're going to have that fear until you fear God, and the fear of God replaces that earthly fear. It's going to be there. You're going to worry yourself to death. Why? I'm telling you, you ask some folks in here, know me, I used to be the king of worrying. The king. Worrying. And I know, I'm telling you, until God helps you, a man can't help you, your relatives can't comfort you with the right thing. You think maybe if somebody said this, I'm telling you, that word of God and confidence in Jesus Christ is the only thing that can conquer those fears. Why? Because if you don't, I'm telling you, it's going to worry you to death. You're going to worry your head about stuff that you shouldn't worry about. And what happens? It worries like a rocking chair. A whole lot of movement, but you're not going anywhere. Now, fear God, fear man. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 20. Now, I'm going to read Proverbs 29, verse 25. While you're there, I did not write it down, so I got to turn to both of them. Proverbs 29. Try to beat you. Proverbs 29. Alright, and it says this. While you're turning there, it says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved."
Amen.
The fear of man. There's a fear of God and there's a fear of man. The fear of man, that Bible says, bringeth a snare. And you say, well, how can that affect anybody? You know what people say? Well, this sin I'm doing, it's not affecting anybody but me. You better watch it. This sin right here can affect people. If you don't have your fear balanced out, it can affect others. It can affect others. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, you know, a lot of people teach, well, you know, you reap what you sow, and it's going to come out in somebody else. The Bible says you reap what you sow personally.
Amen.
But what you do can affect others. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Your actions can affect others. And this is one of them. I'm telling you that this thing here, I believe, if you'll get this right, I believe it'll help you with your relationship and help you mentally. Deuteronomy 20, verse number 8, it says, "And the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart." You know what? Fear is contagious. Fear begets fear. If you start being fearful, guess what? Others around you can start being fearful of things that they shouldn't even be fearful of. And y'all, that can rub off on others. You know what the Bible said? We ought to be bold as a lion. Now, I'm not saying go around here and be arrogant. Y'all know what I'm saying. But in the Lord, we ought to be bold in the Lord. Why? Because look, we're the only ones that know where we're going.
That's right.
Yo, if you're saved here this morning, we ought to be bold in battle. Why? Because I know for a fact that my Redeemer liveth, and I were to pass off right now, I'd go to heaven. That ought to give you a holy boldness. What I'm saying is we ought not have the fear this world fears. Listen to this verse. 1 Peter 2:11, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul." You've literally got things on the inside of you that war against you and will try to get you to fear things you ought not fear.
That's exactly right.
Y'all, every one of us, we probably hide these thoughts. We all fear of losing our health and things like that. That is something there that wars against you. Why?
Right.
Because it's a constant thing. You fear falling, fear weird things. I mean, y'all, I know there's people in here older than me, but I fear things now that I didn't fear at all when I was in my 20s. And I wonder, I say, where'd that fear come from? Now, I'm not saying go act stupid either. I'm just telling you, you got to realize you got to balance things out by God. For instance, I won't go get on a four-wheeler and hop over great big old hills like I used to anymore. I don't want to break no bones. That's a healthy fear. That's a good thing. But at the same time, y'all, if we're scared to go down and tell somebody about the Lord, and we're scared of what they're going to think and things like, I'm telling you, these are little things that war against your soul. Why? Because, well, what about my reputation? Well, you let God take care of your character and your reputation take care of itself. What I'm telling you is there's things, I don't know what you fear, but I'm telling you it's warring against your soul. And you know what happens? Your soul is in safekeeping. It's with God. And you need to let Him have that. Now, what will happen? Losing time, it brings doubt. Genesis 32, guess what happens? Jacob had already got a promise by God, and he goes down there and he's wrestling, warring. He's wrestling in prayer with the Lord there. He's scared to death of what his brother Esau is going to do. You know what happens? You'll bring doubt and you're so scared of what somebody else can do to you. Scared to death about things that ought not even be there.
Amen.
Now let me give you another one here. It makes you delirious. I don't have time to go into it, but 1 Samuel 18:12-29. Saul starts to throw a javelin at David. Picks up a javelin and throws it at him. Why? He's delirious. Why? He's trying to hurt others who's close to him just because he's got these wild ideas that David don't like me, or David's against me, or David's going to take over some. You know what happens? You can have wild ideas about things. Y'all, that's why I look. I'm looking at y'all right now. I don't have a clue what y'all are thinking. For all I know, y'all, I'd knock him over the head with a tire too. Nah, I'm just saying, who knows what people are thinking? But y'all, what I'm saying is you know what Saul ought to have done? Saul ought to just went to him and talked to him about it. Instead of conjuring up something. If you get a fear in your mind, you may think, well, so-and-so just don't like me. What did they say? No, they don't say it. But they're thinking it. You don't know. Y'all, what I'm trying to tell you, we will literally conjure up things in our mind, and false fear will make you delirious. It makes you delusional. I want you to see this verse. I want you to turn to Psalm 53. Y'all forgive me if we go over just a little bit. This is a blessing to me, and I hope it helps you. Hope it helps you. It was forbidden. False fear was forbidden in war. And you're going to see these things. Why? Because it brings doubt. It makes you delirious. It makes you delusional. Now, while you're turning to Psalm 53, I want to tell you how you can get delusional if you don't check on things. If you just act real quick. I was reading a news story. In another country, they don't have the same type of road system we do, and they pick up a lot of hitchhikers because a lot of people don't have vehicles, they're walking. So this one guy, he was a coffin maker, and he was carrying a freshly made coffin in the back of this pickup truck, and he picked up a hitchhiker. And it was fairly sunny, kind of cloudy out that day. And that hitchhiker gets in the back. Man, it's kind of cool, you know. So he looks in that coffin and says, man, this thing is clean. Man, I'm going to hop off in here. So he gets in the coffin. Well, then later on down the road, this guy picks up two other hitchhikers. And they hop in the back of that truck. And one of them sitting on one side, one of them sitting on the other side. They're talking. And after a little while, that guy opens that coffin up. He says, hey, looks around. And one of the guys, it scares him so bad, he falls off the back of the truck. And man, broke every bone in his body. Hurt him. Well, what I'm saying is I thought about that and I said, you know what? We just react over that guy was alive. We react so fast over, and we get hurt over it, reacting so fast out of fear.
That's right.
Scared into that, and that would scare me. I probably would have been the same thing. But I'm just telling you this right here. I thought about that is to say, how many times have we hurt our own self being scared to death something is going to happen, and we've just made it up in our mind. I know it's going to come out that way, and it doesn't come out that way. Yeah. I've been scared to death, y'all. I mean, see, I'm just like y'all. Sometimes you think, we're not going to be able to make this payment. Or,
that's right.
What if I get real sick, and this not going to be able to happen, this not going to be able to happen? Oh, I've even done it on sermons. I've got there before, and they said, Saturday, Lord, now, I know you know the days, you created the days, but you hadn't given me no message yet, and we're getting close to Sunday, and you know, and it kind of scares you.
Amen.
Now what happens? And then I get to thinking, what if I don't do this, 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 and then you've got all these things that you've lined up, that it's done happened in your mind. And then you get there and God takes care of it and you say, I wasted all that time with false fear.
That's right.
Well, I read another news story. And this lady, she was visiting a town in California, and they were shooting a movie set there. And she was going by that movie set, and they didn't have it all blocked off over here. And they had a fake bank and everything. And these people come out with these machine guns, and she's looking, you know. And she's looking, she's, oh my! They come out of the bank with machine guns, and she wrecks her car and hits five or six people and hurts them and everything. Why? Because it just something was false. Falsely set up, and she was scared to death. That we do that.
That's right.
We hurt all kind of people being scared of stuff that's not even there.
That's right.
We conjure up fear. Now look at this. Verse Psalm 53. Look at verse number 5. There were they in great fear. Now look at this. I got this underlined. Where no fear was.
That's right.
You know what? Feelings are the most unreliable facts you have. Feelings. You're scared to death that this is going to happen. I know. I feel it. This is what we'll say. Just when you know, I just feel like it's going to. This look. I'm telling you now. I got a feeling about it. Well, you got a feeling about it, but that don't mean it's going to happen. I can't tell you how many times I've had, man, negative airwaves. I had a buddy, he talked about negative airwaves all the time. He's like, man, it's some negative waves. And I'm like, whoa. You know, I didn't know what he was talking about. And he had me scared. I'm scared of him. What I'm telling you is, y'all, if you don't have a balanced fear, it was forbidden in war because it could rub off. You could rub off on somebody else and have them scared to death. And guess what happened? They're scared for you, and here they are praying for you because you've got them scared that something's going to happen. Well, I tell you what, pray for me on so-and-so. That's okay to pray, but at the same time, don't put a false fear in them.
That's right.
Just say, sometimes it's best. Just look, too much knowledge can hurt people. Just say, hey, I got a situation going on. Just pray for me. Sometimes it's best to leave. That way, they're not worried to death about you. Well, sometimes they may have needed to have been praying for somebody else, and they've prayed for you, and you've conjured up a situation that's not even there. I'm just telling you, y'all, we've got to have that thing balanced.
Right.
Otherwise, it's going to hurt you and hurt others around you. Not only that, but it corrupts your wisdom. I thought about this in 1 Samuel 15:24. Saul was doing all that stuff, and he was corrupted. And you know what happened? I thought about this. Saul had to have been wise, otherwise God wouldn't have placed him in that position. You know what? It corrupted him. False fear. He was scared to death of David. What David was going to do. That David was going to have some glory. That David was going to be blessed.
Amen.
It corrupted his wisdom. You know what? False fear can literally corrupt that godly wisdom. Why? Because you're more focused on the thing that might happen. That just might turn out this way. And it scares you to death and you stop focusing on God. That's godly fear, manly fear, or fear toward man. Look at this third one here, unconquered fear. I want you to see this. Revelation 21. We're getting close to a close here, but I got to get to the place where you get the help. And I know we're going over, but y'all, please stay with me just for a minute. Unconquered fear in Revelation 21 is a description of the lost. I'm amazed. Look, lying don't send you to hell. Being fearful don't send you to hell. Drinking don't send you to hell, believe it or not. Even a lot of Baptist pastors think it does. You know what sends you to hell? Not trusting
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what sends you to hell.
That's right.
You know what the one thing is? These people conjure up all kinds. I've even heard people say, well, so-and-so is like this. They can't be saved. Where did you find that in the Bible at?
That's right.
You can't be saved if you don't trust Christ. Anything else has got to do with your fellowship. And man, I tell you, you can get messed up as a soup sandwich if you get out of fellowship with the Lord. Revelation 21, I want you to see the description of those, the first thing out of all the bad things, of those who are in hell, who make it to the lake of fire. Verse number 8, look at this. But the fearful and unbelieving. You know what? The first description of those who are in the lake of fire is people who were fearful. So scared. I can't tell many people, man, if I got saved, man, I tell you, my mom and daddy, they wouldn't have me. Y'all, there's people out there who literally, some of their family members would disown them. Some people are belong to churches and things like that. They disown them if they get saved. They're scared of what somebody thinks. Some people won't get saved because they're so fearful that I'm going to have to give up this and I'm going to have to give up that. Christ never told you to do that. He said you come to Him a sinner. He died for your sins.
Amen.
You come to Him a sinner and trust Him and then He cleans you up.
That's
He
right.
never asks you to get clean and then come to Him.
That's
not
right.
One time. I'll give you $1,000. I'll give you all the money I don't have. If you'll show me the verse, and He says you come to Christ, then He works on you. You got to remember why? Because the fearful. Now, this is what gets me. It's a description of the lost. It's a description of an eternal feeling of the lost. Listen to this. It said the fearful. Now watch this. 1 John 4:8. Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. Fear hath torment. They're fearful. They go to hell. Fear hath torment. You know what the rich man said? He said, send Lazarus to dip his finger in water. Cool my tongue, for I am tormented
That's right.
in this flame. Now, you know why we won't get the gospel out? Because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I know that even Christians can have bad fear. And fear scares you, man.
Yes.
Well, it's got to be something to it. Why do they make so many scary movies? They're making millions off of fear. Do you imagine those people who don't trust Jesus Christ because they're fearful of something? They've let some kind of fear get in the way. And they go to hell and fear hath torment, and they have to fear. They have to fear for the rest of their life. Why? The fact that they'll never get out. Y'all, that's what scares me.
That's
a godly fear. Why? I thank God I'm saved, and saved simply by coming to Him and trusting what He did for me on the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the water. That's the gospel. No water added, nothing else added. It's just Christ and Christ alone.
Amen.
And then you'll never have to fear going to hell anymore. But you know what the Bible says? Fear hath torment. Tormented forever and have to fear that forever.
Amen.
Y'all, I don't want that for any of y'all, and it don't have to be that way. What I'm telling you is, if anybody goes to hell, they can't blame the Lord, because the Lord said He's not willing that any should perish. Now, this right here is the cure for fear. Two things. Turn to Psalms 46 as I'm closing. God's Word is Psalms 26, and the Bible says it's all this matches Pauline doctrine, because he said we're not given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. And the cure for fear, I want you to read this. Maybe go home and read them again. But the fear conclusion here and the cure for fear, God's Word is this. Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Y'all, it blesses my heart that He's our help in trouble. If you're in trouble this morning, you don't have to fear. Why? He's our help in trouble. Man, if you're in trouble, I can go to God and I can get the help that I need. Why? I know that. Watch this. Therefore will not we fear. Look at that fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake and the swelling thereof. You know what he's saying? The stars could fall and I don't have to fear. The earth could literally drop down, stop spinning. I don't have to fear. The sun could refuse to shine and I don't have to fear. The moon cannot give its light at night and I don't have to fear. I could lose my health. I don't have to fear. I could lose my wealth. I don't have to fear. I could lose anything and I don't have to fear, because I can't lose my salvation and I can't lose my God. He's the rock and the refuge on which I stand, where I find my help. I'm telling you, I've got all that confidence in God. And it makes me excited. Why? Because I'm telling you right now, the cure for fear is God. God. Though the mountains wax, I don't have to fear. Here's the cure manward. 1 Peter 4:1, you mark it in your margin, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh. Arm yourselves. It's armor. Likewise with the same mind. Guess what? Suffering for the flesh in the will of God is an armor for you. It arms you. Sometimes, y'all, we're going to suffer in this flesh just like Christ did. And we're going to have things mentally that we're suffering. And you know what happens? That Bible said He's ceased from sin in that next part of that verse. Sometimes we get that to keep us from sinning. Why? God's good enough sometimes to allow suffering in our life. In the flesh. Christ suffered in the flesh. So we'll think about that. And we'll go to our refuge, God. And we won't think about sin. And one of these days, we're going to get on the other side, and God's going to say, I had you the whole time. But you, during that time, you were praying. Because if you hadn't had that, let me show you what could have happened.
That's right.
Let me show you what could have happened if you hadn't stayed on your knee. You could have gotten this deep sin. Y'all, a lot of times, we don't even realize it, but we've got pain coming in the flesh. So we'll stay close to God.
That's right.
You know what the Bible says? Fear Him who's able to take the soul and throw it in hell. That's who we're supposed to fear. You know what? I don't never have to fear death. Why? Because Christ conquered death for me. For me and for you. We don't have to fear. We can have a biblical fear. Thank God for that. Let's pray. Brother Carl, if you close us out.